following episode of The Orphans is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerdy destination. And with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Interview for The Orphans. Right now I'm interviewing Amy Kember, who plays Nora. Do you want to say hi?
Hi. Wait, hang on. This isn't live, right?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not going out live. Who would I be going out to?
I don't know. James? That's really weird. I can't... Gav's here. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Unlike your persona in the show, you can't speak on the mic.
No, I can't.
how are you doing, Amy?
I'm good. I've got this weird cough at the moment, and what's going on?
I can tell. That's not good. So you play... It just started. Should we wait until they're in here?
If you want.
No, fuck it. So you play Nora on the show.
I do.
And can you tell me a bit about Nora and how she is with the rest of the group?
Nora is very headstrong. She doesn't have a lot of knowledge of who she really is. Mm. And she kind of sees herself as a leader, and that's all she knows.
Yeah, she doesn't know who
as.
She truly is. So she sees herself as a leader and kind of just hones in on trying to keep everyone alive.
Yeah.
She also is very vulnerable, but she picks and chooses when you see that.
Mm.
But overall, she's a very strong female character who is looked up to by others, but also has her faults, like we all do.
What are some of her faults, do you think?
She's not a very good listener, I don't feel.
Mm.
She kind of sees herself as... what I say is right, but then there are characters that kind of make her think. So Baz kind of makes her think a little bit more about other people. She cares a lot about others, but doesn't know how to do it. Like she wants to keep them all alive, but kind of doesn't always go right around the right way about it.
That's a very good answer. That's a very nice
I've
answer.
Read the script. Apparently you wrote it.
Yeah, didn't you know?
He wrote the script.
You wrote the script.
I wrote
Zach the script,
yeah.
Guys.
Do you have any methods when you're getting into character? Do you have any methods to get into Nora specifically?
It's very different to doing a radio play to anything else I've done, because it's... we've done everything kind of bit of mix and match. So I quite liked that I started with the narration because that's how I kind of found her inner thoughts. And so the process hasn't really been me every session getting into her. It's kind of every session I find more about her. Getting into character. Oh, that's hard. I think I just kind of remember what we've done previously. Mm. And when we're all in the room together, you can tell by our personalities as well what our characters are, which is quite interesting. So that kind of gets you into the dynamic of the group and stuff.
Absolutely. I have been asking everyone this.
What are you doing?
Have they Snapchatted it?
Of course they have. Cunt.
I was going to... no photos, no photos.
Okay, next question.
I've asked everyone this, and...
no photos. No photos.
No, you're right, it wasn't on the...
Did you not know Amy Kember is here today?
Yeah. Sorry. The talent's right. Here, guys.
The talent has arrived.
Talent on set, talent on set.
I've asked everyone this. Can you describe what it's like when the group all come together for a recording session?
Have you ever been to a zoo? Because it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where we all get a little bit overexcited because there is about seven people in one room.
One tiny room, yeah.
Yep. And there is a lot of insults down the mic, which no one can hear apart from Zach. We also have bitching with Birdie going on, which is...
Yeah, always.
No, but it is a lot of fun. And then there comes to a point where we have to be ready, Zach. And I'm always ready, Zach. But no, it goes from kind of... There goes stages of... We're really excited. Oh, this scene's really funny and good. And then we kind of... We focus down to the point where we're like, oh... We need to do this now.
Oh, we actually have an hour left. Yeah. We've got three more scenes to do.
And someone needs to die at this point, so let's focus.
Whoosh, I can't say that. You're going to have to bleep that out.
No, you won't.
No. So when you are in these recording sessions, do you ever imagine what the finished product is going to sound like to get into the world? Because...
Kind of. There's been sessions where me in particular have had to do running and stuff, and it's been interesting listening to people climb trees and things. But so when we do it, it sounds silly. It's interesting, like, because the things we do, like, I had to be held down to get screams and things like that. And to us, it sounds... Like, silly. What is this? But the other day I had to just sit there and cry and was like, this isn't even going to sound like I'm crying. And then you hear it back and Zach does wonders. And, you know.
You've heard it?
No, I've heard little bits.
Yeah.
I've heard the episode one, the crash.
And I started playing episode one for you the other day.
Yes.
So you've heard some of that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Heard about 7 minutes.
Yeah, you heard the first couple of scenes.
A lot of the drowning was interesting to do.
Yeah,
because was I the only one that actually used water?
No, everyone else used water as well.
I was the only one that was filmed doing it though.
That's true. That's true. That's not true.
I think it died.
Why not?
No, I think it died by the time you got in there.
It probably died.
I think I got the whole thing.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think I have you in there. Anyways, I need to go through the footage.
Yeah, please don't.
So, for Nora in the show, what would you say is her most important relationship to someone else in the group?
My instinct is to say Baz.
Yeah.
Because... Obviously, he's the one, he finds a softer side to her.
Shut up, and you too.
We have this love scene that...
Oh, God damn it. That's what it was, yeah.
Anyway, the love scene that isn't a love scene.
Yeah.
But actually, when I think about it, now you've asked, I think Jeffrey is a very important role for Nora. Because, Richard's definitely not.
Oh, shut up!
He's a pain in the arse. No, when I think about it, I think it... Jeffrey does play an important role because without him, no one would have a clue what is going on. And as much as she kind of is a bit standoffish with him, he's the one she turns to for answers quite a lot. And... I think if she has a plan, he's the one she wouldn't tell because she knows that he would kind of stop her from doing it. Whereas she can kind of get Baz involved.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Baz is a little bit of her puppy.
So Nora goes through kind of an extensive journey, kind of more so than any other of the characters, I think, in this whole series. Can you tell me a bit about what it was like going through that transition with her? What it is going to be like.
It's very strange because... it's not strange. That's a really bad word to use. It's interesting because even though she isn't relatable, she kind of is in a sense. Obviously, this world is unrelatable to most people, but the messages and things inside of it and her journey is kind of like growing up. Because she begins a bit in the unknown, terrified, and the episodes go on, the more she grows and the more layers that you find in her. So playing that has been really interesting. It was very interesting the other day to kind of go, we did the last scene, to then have to go back to what she was like, and then to then go back further to where she's a bit lost again. So I feel like I'm playing a 14-year-old that's just going through puberty, really. She doesn't really know what's going on.
That's quite funny. I like that you said that. Okay, I do, actually, because that it's a very good point, just because, you know, with the revelations that come in episode 7,
yeah,
we do know that that's something that is true with them, that they're growing up in themselves. Yeah.
And they've kind of done it together as well, which is nice. Like, this might be a spoiler, so you might cut it out. But like, one of the last lines is, are we going to do this together? And they started this kind of not wanting to be together. And it's I don't see it as Nora's journey. I kind of see it as the groups.
Yeah.
And how much they've grown and what they've gained and lost on the way. But it's been interesting to play that. I hope it comes across.
I'm sure it will. Last question, it's a two-parter. What has been the most fun scene to record, and what has been the most challenging scene to record?
The most fun. Oh gosh, there's so many. I'm trying to think. The most fun has probably got to be when everyone had to hold me down, actually.
Yeah.
Because even though that was challenging,
yeah,
but that challenging is fun. I think it was just hilarious to... I was just kind of screaming and acting. And I opened my eyes and everyone was just kind of staring at me like, are you okay? And it was fine. That was a lot of fun to do. The most challenging is probably the narration.
Yeah.
Because being in the booth on your own is also, that is quite some of my favourite bits as well, just because you can just hone in on your thoughts and what you think is going to happen. But I've always found I'm kind of, not guessing, but I kind of go for it, as in like, okay, yeah, I think it's like this. But the more I do it, the more
it becomes
something else.
Yeah.
And like collaborating with you and finding the perfect way to say literally like three words is very challenging, but also very rewarding. And I think they're some of my favourite bits.
I have to agree. Your narration, it's funny because it changes. You see two different sides of Nora. In the narration and in
I noticed that the other day when we listened to a bit of episode 1 of how she doesn't sound like a completely different person, but you can tell that the recordings are kind of done after the action.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, even in those moments, which could probably be an hour between recording the narration and the action, she just kind of reflects on it and kind of grows up that little bit more, which is really interesting.
I've just done some narration for episode 3, episode 2 of yours, where you, I don't know if you remember, we did two different versions of this one line.
Is this one of those, one for luck, Zach?
No, it was, we'll do one as if you're recording it after this point, and we'll do one if you're recording it after that point.
Yeah, okay, I remember.
And that I chose the one where we decided it was the later one.
So after the event.
Yeah, after the event. And it's funny how it plays even though you don't know why it is like that. And
okay.
I laid it in there, so I'm hoping that if people go back and re-listen, mm-hmm. that they'll see all these things that they didn't understand emotionally in the narration.
Yep.
Back. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the narration is interesting. Thanks.
Anyways, thank you very much. Was for
that, what was part two? Oh, that was part.
That
two.
Was it was fun and challenging. Yeah.
Of course. Thanks. You see my voice.
Oh no, we're about to record.
Nope, I'm fine.
Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you, Zach.
You're very welcome. See you soon in the now.
I'll see you in literally 15 minutes.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Hello.
Hello, and welcome to another interview for the Orphans. Now,
The Orphans.
I'm interviewing Ruby Parker Harbord.
Hello.
Who is the voice of Valerie on the show.
I'm the voice of Valerie.
How are you doing today,
I'm
Ruby?
Really good. How are you?
I'm okay. What's up in your life?
Do you really want to know?
Probably not.
No, you don't.
I wanted to talk to you a bit about the Orphans, about the show. I want to ask you, how did you first get involved in the project?
Well, I live with you.
That's the thing.
So I said, well, you can't do it without me. And you weaseled my way in. No. Did you ask me or did I ask you? I'm trying to remember.
It was a bit of both. I think it was both you wanted to be a part of it and also you were there when I first was like, we should do an audio drama.
I remember when you were writing the scripts and you would like, run into my room and be like, I've written the script, I've done the first one, it's great.
I do remember that. Yeah, so I think it was a bit partly you...
It was inevitable I was going to end up on the project.
Of course. And then I remember not knowing what I was going to cast you as, and then I wrote Valerie... I wrote her lightsaber, basically her light sword, into it, and I was like, okay, well, Ruby has to play this part.
Has to have the lightsaber.
Yeah,
otherwise there's no point.
Yeah. So do you want to tell everyone a bit about Valerie? A bit about how you connect to her as a character?
She's sassy, which mm-hmm. I'm very sassy. When I get annoyed about something, as you know, I can be very, very sassy, but she cares about people quite a lot and she wants to make sure that everyone's all right. Mm. And yeah, I feel like she's quite loyal, which I try to be in real life. And she kind of, I don't know how to explain. I don't know. I've always wanted to be a badass, I'm not going to lie. And so when you told me about her and how she's got lightsaber and stuff, I was like, I want to be her. She's one of those characters that I would like read in books or watch in films and be like, I want to be that character.
Well, now you get to.
And now I get to be her. But yeah, she's pretty fiercely loyal to people. And there's moments in it that you notice that she does, like, even though she's kind of like split off and she doesn't like... On her front, she's pretending that she doesn't really care about people and that she doesn't know how to handle people. But really, like, you can tell on the inside, she really does care about her friends. And when I don't want to spoil it, but when...
Let's not spoil it.
Yeah, but when things happen to other people, she does kind of, like, even if she pretends that she doesn't want to be the one who has to look after them, she will anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
that's
she'll go out of her way to kind of make sure that everyone's all right, which is a lot of what I do, is I'm basically make it my aim to make sure that other people are all right.
Yeah, it's funny how much the characters, especially after the casting, kind of shape themselves around the people who played them. Yeah. From the writing perspective and also what you guys brought onto it is that you would bring yourselves into the role so much. And then after seeing that, I would then bring that into the writing, you know, and it's quite interesting how that.
Yeah. I've seen how it's kind of adapted. The script has kind of gone down. I think, it's interesting. 'Cause like there's parts of her that are really not like me. Like I am very open about helping people. Mm. And she's not, and she's quite kind of guarded by it. But it's interesting to be a different version of myself. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously, badass stuff is always fun.
Always fun to be a badass. Yeah. Something I'm going to ask everyone is, can you describe what the atmosphere is when the whole group comes together for a recording session?
Silly.
Yeah?
Very silly. It's really fun. That's what I enjoy about it, is that it's not, like, it's not a chore. And it's not something you have to get over and done with. Like, everyone likes being together in the same room.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And I think even when it's just, like, two of us, especially when James is in the room, there can be a lot of banter in that room.
I interviewed James today about it, yeah.
And I really like it. I think it's fun. I mean, yeah, and I think the way that you go about getting us all into the energy of it is really, really fun.
Oh, thank you.
Because, like, for example, getting us to all sing Taylor Swift while doing star jumps and running on the spot is really, really fun.
Yeah.
Because we're all just, like, getting into it. No one wants to stop singing Taylor Swift except for James.
Except for James.
James is like, stop.
I hate Jeffrey.
You all. And even just, like, getting us to, like, pin Amy down on the floor. And all the rest of us are having the most fun doing it. And Laura's in the corner saying all her lines. And the rest of us are all just smiling and, like... Ha ha ha! This is fun. Yeah, I really enjoy it. I think the atmosphere, because I didn't really know many of the others in the room.
No, you didn't know anyone,
really,
did you?
I knew Laura and James, and so
and Deck.
Yeah, and so I didn't really know the others. But it's nice because it means that we all kind of come together in an instant. It's like these characters; they've all been thrown into this situation where they don't really know anything about each other, but they somehow have got along.
Yeah, they
come
together.
And that's exactly what it feels like. I think it's good that you haven't just cast everyone who knows each other. Like, people know individuals, but
it's fun.
I really like it.
I do too. Thank you. I was wondering, when we're recording these scenes, do you ever imagine how they'll come out the other end, like the sounds? Do you use that to get in at all?
The thing is because I'm a filmmaking director, I imagine what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm reading the stage directions or you're reading out what happens or going through what happens in the scene, I literally imagine it. So there was that bit where I was climbing up a tree.
Yeah.
I imagined how big the tree was. I could see myself climbing up that tree.
Oh, that's perfect.
But that also adds to the sounds of it, but I can't necessarily hear everything. Like, I'm still trying to, like, learn sound design, so it's still getting into my head, but... Yeah, I can imagine it, definitely. I can imagine the world. I can imagine the creatures as well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You were one of the first characters to interact with the dogs, because in your scene in the first episode, you are the first character who describes them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember recording that?
I do. I remember that.
We pick up on smells a lot in this show, don't we?
Yeah. I think it's because that's a... That's a sense you can't get with filmmaking or with audio. But with audio, you can narrate stuff. With film, you can't really go, I smelt the toilet. I don't know why I chose toilet, but
so
you can't really do that.
No, you can't. You are a film, you direct a lot. You're in university studying directing. How was it coming from the film medium to the audio medium? How was that transition?
Well, I mean, I really enjoyed it. And I found it really... Because I haven't directed one yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's like to direct one. But from what I've seen of you do it, it's a really interesting experience to kind of just observe it. Because it seems a lot more free.
Yeah.
And you can be more creative with sound design and stuff. You can pick up stuff whenever you need to. You don't always have to have everyone in the same room. You don't have to worry about scheduling, about, like, how much money you put into
I wouldn't be able to tell about scheduling, the bloody schedule on this thing. Sorry,
yeah, I mean,
keep going.
I never look at the schedule, so.
Yeah.
I'm pretty bad when it comes to that. Oh, dear. I'm getting noises on my computer.
Oh, my. Sorry. Very popular girl.
I think it's... Yeah, it's something that when I saw you first direct the first episode, I was like, I want to try doing that, because it looks like so much fun.
It is.
And you have just so much creative freedom that you don't get with film, because with film, it's just, you've got to get the whole crew and you've got the equipment.
Yeah.
And if it goes to nighttime, you can't do any more. And
yeah.
It's like, you can do it 3 a.m. if you want. Like,
if I wanted to.
But funny, we probably shouldn't shout help and screaming in the house at 3 a.m.
No, yeah. See, most of the recordings are in our house.
Yeah. Your bed against the window. Yeah. To, like, block out the sounds.
Yeah, well, you know, it works. So yeah, there we go.
Exactly.
I wanted, what, this is interesting because I'm not sure what the answer is. What do you think is the most important relationship that Valerie has in the series to another character?
That's interesting. I don't know, because the first person who came into my head was Dex's character.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because we're both quite,
which is William,
similar.
For anyone.
William,
yeah.
Yeah. We're both quite similar. Mm-hmm. We're both kind of like trying to be badass, and but he's way more kind of trying to be badass.
Yeah,
like,
that's so true.
Oh yeah, like, I don't know, with his weird Bristonian accent. But I think in the most recent episode that I can think of, mm-hmm, when I really, like, my character really starts to care about someone, mm-hmm, it's Amy's character.
Yeah, Nora.
Nora, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one. I don't know. I think she's kind of got a weird connection with all of them. Yeah, but I think Nora, because Nora's, yeah, like, she's the leader,
mm-hmm,
and Valerie really responds to kind of leadership. Like, mm-hmm, she likes being the badass and the strong one.
Yeah,
but she,
yeah,
doesn't,
yeah,
necessarily like making all the decisions unless everyone's kind, that's, of being idiots. True. And she's like, you know, fuck off, like, we've got to do this.
Fucking
what
tree.
What are you doing? Like, why are you trying to debate about whether or not you should go in that bush or not? Just climb the bloody tree. But like, she responds well to, kind of like, she wants those guidelines, and I think Nora is the good person who does that, but also isn't a dick about it. So, and she's not really stupid about the decisions she makes.
Yeah.
So I think Valerie has like a lot of respect for her, but also has a weird kind of nice love for her as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I'm just going to wrap this up quickly.
Okay.
I'm just, the last question. What has been, this I'm going to ask everyone, what has been your favorite, you the most fun scene to record, and what has been the most challenging scene to record?
Okay, give me a moment. I think most fun scene, no, most challenging scene was climbing the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's really difficult to climb a tree when there's no tree. but I think I'm like, that's the thing about sound design, is that you don't actually have to have, you can build it all around it. It's more, you've got a, it's kind of like miming. You've kind of got, you've got to mime it. And I think it's challenging, but it's interesting. But I think the most fun scene, I don't know. I think I'm just going to have to say the first episode that we did.
Oh, at the very first session?
The very first session we did.
Yeah.
Just with everyone in the room and everyone had just met. And
yeah,
I really liked that one. I don't know why. I just think, I mean, there were times where we were holding Amy down on the ground and just all wobbling about, almost getting kicked in the face. That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a bit about that scene between you, Deck, and James.
What, when we were being really sassy to each other? Yeah. I did like that one. But I think in terms of, like, because I like physically acting as well, and I think that one, the first episode was fun because we get to actually, like,
running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Yes, I think that's my favourite.
Well, thank you very much for sitting down with me,
Ruby. You're welcome.
And you can all listen to The Orphans wherever that may be. I'm sure there are links around wherever this audio is.
Yeah, just go to an orphanage and there'll be...
Oh.
No? No. It's not going to be CDs?
No, no. It's a...
It's not that kind of orphanage.
No, it's okay. Like... It's a show. This is an audio drama.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You see, I thought we were doing a BBC film.
No.
Okay. Right. Well... Don't go to an orphanage.
No,
but if you do,
tell them we say hi.
Tell them we say hi.
No, thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Hello, and welcome to another interview for The Orphans. Right now, I'm interviewing Laura Gerling.
Hello.
Who plays Olivia on the show.
Yes, I do.
So why don't you, why don't we start out by saying, how did you get involved in the show?
Slept with the director.
No. How do I answer that? Because,
well,
basically,
what was the first time you heard me talking about the show?
Well, you were like, "Oh, I'm writing this thing, and I want to make an audio drama," and I was kind of like, "Haha, yeah, write me into it," and then you did. So, pretty much happened like that. It was a sort of, yeah.
What was your reaction when I first gave you the script and I'm like, yeah, you're this character?
Didn't like it.
No.
No. I was like, why have you done that? She's like, me, but worse. She's like, all of my bad bits. And then with some extra bad bits thrown in. She's a lovely character.
We were first
She's great.
Do you remember when we were first talking about Olivia and what I was going to do with her? Do you remember what I said I was going to do with her?
You're going to make her really bitchy.
Yeah.
I would have liked that. I'm really sad. That's why I was so sad.
It changed. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. I tried and it just, the character just wanted to be good.
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
She's a little goody two shoes. That's why she gets on my nerve. She's just. Just too good. She just always wants to do the right thing and help everyone.
It's true.
It's sickening.
Because you're just so not that, of course.
I like playing kind of bad characters sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a bit of fun and different to kind of my day-to-day life, bit of escapism.
And I'm just trying to do this social realism and you're like, fuck off with that, Zach.
I want to be like a full-on kind of stylized Disney villain with like a sweeping cape and I joke. I like the character. She's great. She's fab.
What was it like? Because Olivia goes through several kind of a major arc in the show. Can you describe what that is a bit without giving any plot details away, but kind of the emotional side of it?
Well, she starts off very kind of, what's the word? She's quite highly strung at the beginning, isn't she? And very kind of, oh my God, we're here, what are we going to do? I'm going to die. Like, that's pretty much kind of how she starts off. Then she, there's a kind of turning point in that, which I guess I can't really say.
No, let's not say, because I think,
And from then, she becomes a bit more kind of level-headed and kind of takes on the role of sort of looking after everyone, really, I guess, and wanting to kind of keep the whole sort of team safe. I mean, that's partially, for her own gain, isn't it?
Mm.
Kind of wanting kind of, because I don't think she'd survive without a solid kind of team together.
No.
She's not. Yeah, I don't think she'd be much of a survivor on her own.
No, I don't think so.
she'd struggle.
Can you tell me a bit about what it's like when the whole cast gets together for a recording session?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
I can. How to describe it? It's an experience.
Yeah?
Yeah, I enjoy it, but it's a headache and I need to kind of shut myself in a dark room for a few hours afterwards and have a good sleep. Because a lot of kind of lovely personalities, but a lot of personalities in one room. That sounded a bit sarcastic when I said that, didn't it? I didn't mean
lovely
it.
Lovely personalities.
Yeah, I didn't mean that in a sarcastic way at all. They are genuinely...
We're
a delightful cast, aren't we?
Lovely. I love you all so much.
I really love the recording sessions when the kazoo comes out.
The kazoo?
James has the kazoo.
Yeah. James, who plays who? Who does James play?
Jeffrey.
Yes.
You know this.
I'm trying to...
Oh, sorry. Am I meant to be... Sorry, yes. James, who plays Jeffrey...
Yes, there we go.
...has a kazoo pocket in his jacket. He has a kazoo that he likes to whip out every so often.
Just annoy us.
Normally at the worst moments, when he can tell that Zach's a little bit kind of stressed and kind of close to snapping, he'll just get the kazoo out, play it, and...
Yeah, just fuck with me.
We'll have a jolly time.
I'm wondering, what is... Because with the cast... Obviously, you guys all act together and all that. I'm wondering, in the show, which character do you think has the most... Does Olivia have the most important relationship with? Who influenced her the most?
I think probably her relationship with Nora is probably the most... Even though it's not necessarily a good relationship at all times, it's, probably one of the most important relationships to her, and she's kind of... constantly trying to kind of do right by Nora, and which she can't. She finds that hard, I think, not necessarily being liked by Nora at certain points. And I think she's a character who's probably not, I don't know, she likes to be liked. It affects her a lot when she's not liked. She's not a kind of, fuck the haters kind of character. She's
not a Richard.
No, not a Richard at all. She wants to be liked, definitely, and wants to feel part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
probably.
Do you think she finds her place eventually?
Yeah, I think so. She settles into it eventually. It takes her a little bit of time.
I think I'm going to ask you kind of the penultimate question here, and then I'm going to go into one more question that is maybe a little spoilery that I'm interested in. What was, during this process, what was the most challenging thing you had to do for the show? And then what was the most fun thing you had to do for the show?
The most challenging thing? Well, like I was saying earlier, it's been difficult having you direct me.
Yes.
Having someone I'm kind of close with direct me, because I get quite self-conscious. So I've found that a challenge with the kind of... getting my foot caught up in the wire. I'm sorry. Shall I start my answer again, though?
No, I'll just edit it.
Getting a little bit stuttery.
Okay, if you want to start again, you can.
I don't mind.
Continue on.
Yes. What was I saying? I'm sorry, I've gone completely.
What was the most challenging part of...
Oh, yes.
You were saying was to have me direct you.
Yeah. Well, not in a you're a bad director kind of way.
You're a very
good director. But it's difficult when I've got a close relationship with you and kind of... It's your script that you've written, and it's kind of I feel a lot of pressure to kind of get it right, even though there's not necessarily a right or wrong, and I kind of tend to overthink it and kind of be like, oh, I don't want to like mess it up for Zach, because he's worked so hard on
it. How many times have I come and told you, like, no, don't worry about that, just do what you think is right?
All the time.
Every session, almost. Yeah.
Pretty much, just always. Don't worry about it, Laura. I'll tell you if you're being too over the top. Just go for it. So I've sort of, that's been a challenge for me, is the kind of letting go of the self-consciousness.
Do you think you got better at that as it went on?
Well, I did. And then we had a little break from recording when I had uni deadlines and stuff. Mm-hmm. And just done a recording session just now, and it came back again. I got a bit nervous doing some sound effects, but
which all came across great.
Yay.
Yes, and what was the most fun part of this process?
There's a lot of fun things about the process. But I mean, my favorite bit I had a lot of fun doing was in the final episode, doing something quite out of character. I enjoyed doing that. I was kind of, I just had to channel this anger and be sort of, yeah, quietly fuming. And it was a lot of fun. I liked doing that a lot.
Yeah, you could tell that you were really enjoying that. I'm going to go and edit that episode pretty soon. So I'm looking forward to hitting that scene. Okay, so next question I'm going to ask is going to be a little spoilery. So if you have not listened to kind of the final episode of The Orphans, I would suggest that you go listen to that if it's available, or just wait to listen until that's been released, I guess. I guess, I don't know. I don't know how these are being released, so we'll have to see.
What are we going to spoil?
Final episode? Okay, here we go. Spoilers ahead. So, end of the episode, you are one of the few who live at the end. Do you think Olivia, of course, she's been through this whole process, and the cast have all touched on this, how this is very much their characters growing up.
Yeah.
Do you feel that from beginning to end, Olivia has significantly changed as a person?
Yeah.
How so?
Massively. Well, like I said, kind of at the beginning, she's kind of this nervous, whiny, kind of panicky person that's just constantly kind of getting on everyone's nerves because she's stressing out so much. And she definitely matures and kind of finds her role within the team. She calms down a bit as well. She manages to calm down and kind of not hide her feelings. She doesn't hide her feelings. She's definitely an emotional character, but she, trying to think how to word it. Sorry.
That's fine. No, don't worry. No.
But kind of is more aware of kind of how others are impacted by her feelings and tries to kind of keep it a bit more low key, I guess, and kind of keep it a bit. Guarded's the wrong word, but I can't think of another word right now.
And given given where she ends up at the end of the season, what do you predict Olivia's trajectory to be as a character if she continues along the path she's on? What will she become, do you think?
I hope she keeps on dissecting things. I hope that she kind of carries on with that and develops her medical skills. And
Well, there we go.
She could build her own kind of, actually, I'm gonna spoil. No, I'll be quiet now.
Why? I don't even know what you're gonna say.
I was gonna say she could build her own clone army, just loads and loads of Olivias.
Oh no, that's fine.
Just,
if they know, if
yeah,
they
do that. I reckon she could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just takes up. Like maybe she'd need, I don't know, might need a bit of Baz's help, but kind of she could.
Thank you so much for sitting down with me today, Laura.
Welcome.
And you guys can check out episodes of The Orphans. I'm sure all around you there are links. And please enjoy the show. And if you enjoy the show, let us know, because we'd love to keep doing more of it. Yes, goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Orphans, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play and BitTorrent now. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, please visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorship. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show and The Orphans on all your favorite social media networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.